Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, my name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest Carol Truelove, co-founder of the Crystal Skull Whisperers, will be joining us to discuss the ancient skulls and the Mayan elders. Before we get started, I'd like you to join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Firstly, Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay, thank you so much, Steve. I'm looking forward to your show.
Good. It should be very, very interesting. It's a fascinating subject.
Yes.
Could I ask you, Maureen, to tell our listeners a little about your work, please?
Yeah, you can ask me all you want. Yes, I am an empath, intuitive, psychic advisor, and I work with PsychicAccess.com with the rest of all of us here. And I love my work. There you have it.
Wonderful. Well, we love you too, Maureen.
Thank you.
Brenda, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome today. Yes.
That's good to hear. That's good. I've had a very good day as well. Had strep throat, and today I felt brighter, so it was,
it was
a good day. Now, Brenda, could you tell our listeners a little about your work as well?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic, kind of old school. I do crystal ball, palms, and tarot. Of course, I can't do the palms over, you know, the psychic line. And I work for PsychicAccess.com. And I'm really looking forward to the show because I have my own crystal skull in hand to do readings today.
Fantastic. Wow. You're prepared for the show then?
I am, absolutely.
A crystal skull in hand. That's great. Well, Bobby, have you got a crystal skull in hand?
I do not. I'm looking forward to the show because I know absolutely nothing about crystal skulls. However, there was a documentary I found on YouTube, and I watched all about the crystal skulls and found it. And there's some very, very fascinating things about that. So, yeah, it should be great. I can learn even more.
Well, Carol knows a lot about the crystal skulls. I went to a presentation that she gave in Knoxville, and it was absolutely fascinating. She's got a lot to share, and she's a great speaker.
Great.
So, Bobby, can you tell us a little about your work as well, please?
Yeah, I'm psychic medium, so I can tune into people down here, obviously, and see where their lives are at and kind of guide them in places to go, and then tune into the other side as well to bring through loved ones who have crossed over.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Bobby. We're looking forward to the show and to your input later on. So I'm going to introduce Carol briefly by telling our listeners a little about Carol's work. She is a Yuzui Reiki master teacher and studied with Laurel Shenti Jia of the International Center for Reiki Training, where she achieved her Karuna Reiki master teacher level. I know that Carol studied the traditional Chinese medicine theory of Sang Fu as well, and she applies these studies in her Reiki teaching. She's very knowledgeable in the application of vibrational frequencies and applies the physics of vibrational interaction to the relationship between spirit and the physical world. And I know that Carol also offers classes and Reiki sessions. Now, Carol's co-founder of the Crystal Skull Whisperers, and she is involved in sponsoring events for the Crystal Skulls. If you'd like more information about Carol's work, please visit her website. It's reikilightwithtruelove.info. Well, Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I'm really happy to have you here, Carol. I know that you've got so much to share, and we're all eager to learn as much as we can about these incredible crystal skulls and their their connections to the Mayan elders. But could we start, Carol, by asking you to tell us a little about your work?
Well, I think I've heard you say that I'm a Yasui Reiki master, a master teacher, and a Karuna Reiki master teacher. And I studied Reiki up in New York with my wonderful Reiki masters, Terry Sarin and Laura Maglio. And I've studied Karuna Reiki with Laurel Shantigaya. And I've done workshops with Dronvalo Melchizedek on the Flower of Life and the Merkaba, and that all evolves around sacred geometry. And I've been taught a number of other different types of energy modalities from my wonderful friend and mentor, Marjorie Harris. And we have I have a workshop that's coming up at the Rama Center of Healing Arts in Knoxville, and that's going to be on January 14th. And that's going to be about the Hatsudeho, and that's the Japanese technique of meditation to strengthen the connection of Reiki and purify the Reiki energy that passes through a Reiki practitioner. I'm also a co-founder of the Crystal Skull Whisperers, which I know is what we want to discuss this evening. I wanted to share with you my first experience of receiving a skull and what that was, what that meant to me, and how that came about. It was near my birthday several years ago, I guess about 6 or 8 years ago, and my dear friend Marjorie came to see me, and she had had a bundle with her, and she asked me to put my hand out and close my eyes, and she placed this beautiful smoky quartz crystal skull in the palm of my hand. And when I opened my eyes, my first reaction, to be honest with you, was one of, it's a skull. I was not quite sure how I felt about that instantly. It was, skulls were never in my lexicon. I had never thought about them or experienced them or anything like that. But then the second thing that happened to me with the skull was that I could feel this skull. And what I felt from this skull was this wonderful, loving energy that came. And Marjorie asked me to work with the skull and see what I felt with it and what I might get from it. And it was really wonderful. I was so impressed with it that I wanted to know more about it and know and understand more about the skulls. But at that time, they weren't really in the forefront of my thinking or the forefront of my experience. But I was very interested in them. And over the course of time, what I started to do was to accumulate more skulls. I would feel that I should find a skull when I would go to a gem and mineral show, or I might come across a skull by happy accident. And it was just a wonderful experience. I started to grow my own numbers of skulls for myself and start to interact with them. And what I found with them when I work with them is that they would give me information. Each skull has their own personality. Each skull has their own name. They would tell me what their name was, and I would start interacting with them this way. And when we decided to create the Crystal Skull Whisperers webpage, we would get together and review about the skulls and talk about the skulls, and we started to interact with them together as a group, and we would do workshops up in New York with them. And it was a process of a slow, for me, it was kind of a slow go at the beginning to learn about the skulls. And I guess I needed to be ready. and I needed to understand them and what they really meant for me on a personal level. And we had gotten these this one particular skull, and I'm talking about the group of us that are the Crystal Skull Whisperers. We all have a similar skull. And this particular skull is an interesting skull because from that skull, all I get is geometry. I get all kinds of mathematics, all kinds of numbers and things that I can't quite decipher. I've never gotten a name from that skull. So it shows to me that these skulls have personality, and they have all kinds of things to impart to us. But the thing that I was always curious about were the skulls that were considered to be the ancient skulls. And we hear about this so much today. There's so many things on programming. We have all this programming that's going on about them on the television. And it all has to do, of course, with the times that we're in. We're in this this shift of time, and it all interlocks with the end of the Mayan calendar. And so, you know, there's quite an interest in them right now. So over the years, I've had an opportunity to be with some of the ancient crystal skulls, and my first experience with one of them was in Sedona. And I was at a workshop there, and I met this woman who said she had an ancient crystal skull, and of course that, you know, lit me up, and I wanted to find out what it was like and what it would feel like to be with one of them. And so I went to her house. She invited me to her house, and we did ceremony at her house, and it was wonderful. During the time that I met her, and I liked her, and I liked, you know, the ceremony, but at that point, I didn't feel very much from the skull, and I was a bit disappointed in that. I didn't really know what I thought I was going to expect, but I thought, okay, well, it's a nice skull, and it's a nice crystal, and it was a nice experience, and I kind of chalked it up to that. And then a couple of years ago, up in New York, there was going to be an opportunity for me. I was visiting up there, and Marjorie told me that Michelle Nasserino, who is the caretaker and guardian for Shana Ra, and was going to be doing a lecture there, and that I would have an opportunity to be with her and meet Shana Ra and spend some time with Shana Ra. So I, of course, I jumped at that. It was very exciting to me. And I spoke with Michelle when I met her about possibly coming here to Knoxville. But unfortunately, as it turns out, what we planned for her to be here in Knoxville, she was offered a job and an opportunity to move, and it turned out it's going to be at the same time that we were planning to have her here in Knoxville. So we had to change those plans, unfortunately, for us, but very fortunate for her. It's going to be a very, very good move for her, and we wish her well, and we certainly hope that in the near future we're going to be able to reschedule something with her.
Well, that would be great, but, Carol. Carol, can you help us understand the origins of the crystal skulls? What are the views on where they actually come from?
Well, the views, that's the key, that's the question, and that's been a topic of discussion with you know, many different researchers. Some research that was conducted by Michelle's father, Nick Nasserino, and he started doing some research in the 1980s about the skulls. But these started to emerge in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and that's the argument with some of the skull enthusiasts and the academic world. Some of them have this argument of whether or not they are actually from Mesoamerica, which is Central America, being Mesoamerica meaning prior to any kind of European influence. And so some of these skulls have a claim that they were found in that area. and that they were of Maya origin. But that's part of the argument that we get into when we talk about the skulls, because there are, you know, some of the programming seems to all evolve around a particular skull, which is the Mitchell-Hedges skull. And it's kind of unfair programming in a way, because it doesn't really address the other skulls that there are that claim to be these ancient skulls and that I've had an opportunity to be with, which is all I can really address. You know, my personal connection with these skulls and what I personally experienced with them. So, like I said, I've had an opportunity to be with Shana Ra, and I had a tremendous experience with that skull. It was very overwhelming to me. The skull was very informative. It was almost like it was trying to show me all these pictures in a very fast-forwarding motion picture of things it needed me to know, and the energy from it was amazing and remarkable. And that's why I when I spoke to Michelle about trying to bring Shana Ra here to Knoxville, because I wanted people in this area, this local area, to be able to experience what I experienced with the skull. Then just a year ago, I had an opportunity to be with another ancient skull that is owned, and the caretaker for that skull is Joanne Parks, and that skull is Max. And Max is the skull that where my little skull that Marjorie gave to me has been with. That's where Marjorie got my little skull from. And my experience with Max was completely different than what I experienced with Shana Ra. Max had other information it wanted to share with me. And that information was absolute love. I just could not believe the love that came out of that skull to me. And then it showed me ceremonies and people, and it sort of took me throughout the planet and throughout different times, and it was the most amazing experience I had ever had. And so that really sparked me to talk more about the skulls to everybody and to do some workshops. I've done a couple of workshops now since that experience, and I wanted to share with you how these skulls can possibly do this by the types of reasonings as to why these skulls are able to function the way they do and impart information the way they do.
And Carol, are they in some way related to the ancient Egyptians or the Mayan
no,
people?
Well, no, they're not related to the Egyptians, but there is a connection to the Maya. And the Maya feel that the skulls were gifts to them from what they call the star people or the elders, the wise ones, the ancient ones, the men of wisdom, and that they were not necessarily made by the Maya, but they were gifted to the Maya. And they are supposedly to have the capacity to help humanity when we go through this shift that's coming through 2012 and the information that these skulls can impart to us. And that's part of the legend. You know, there's the legend of the 13 skulls. Well, the Maya don't talk about 13 skulls, but they do talk about the fact that they see the skull as playing an essential role in helping humanity raise its consciousness and help us through this time when we change, when the calendar, the Mayan calendar comes to an end and we move into a new time, a new era. And that's how the Maya view the skulls. They feel that they are for the Maya, but not from the Maya. They have used the skulls throughout their ceremonies, throughout their history, because these skulls are reportedly been around with the Maya for many, many years, and they impart They use them in ceremony to the sun, and they use them in ceremony when one shaman is passing information on to for another shaman, so that the skull is able to absorb the information from one shaman, and then when a new shaman comes in, that information is supposedly imparted back to that to the new shaman, so that the new shaman of the tribe or the peoples have information that they can without having to learn everything from the beginning.
Okay. And Carol, I read that there's a big mystery surrounding how the skulls were actually made. In other words, we're not clear how the skulls could have actually been made from crystal that way.
Right. Well, see, that's the other question. Some of the skulls exist that really should not exist. And one of the best examples of that is the skull that's called the Skull of Doom, or the Mitchell Hedges skull. And there's controversy behind where that and how that skull was found. The story goes that Anna Mitchell Hedges, she was the adopted daughter of Mitchell Hedges, and Mitchell Hedges was sort of a like an Indiana Jones type back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he would go on expeditions looking for treasures and Mayan treasures, and he would go to pyramids and he would look for artifacts. That was how he made a living. And Anna went with him on a particular site and noticed this skull inside one of the pyramids, and she claims she was about 16, and it was at the Laputin expedition, and around 1923 or so, and she claims that when she saw something shining through an opening in the pyramid there, she mentioned that to her father, and she was able to be lowered down into the, because she was tiny, she was a small young woman, and they lowered her down, and she claims she found the top part of the skull. And then a few months later, they found the jaw part of the skull after they continued digging. Now, this is a skull that has sparked a great deal of controversy, because the story is, you know, it's a story, but that goes on both sides of the coin. You know, you can present information. Neither side has documentation that supports one story or the other. But so we go by what Anna Mitchell Hedges spoke about herself. And she loved this skull. And she allowed this skull to be tested and to find out its origin and to find out its authenticity. And that's how some of these skulls, with the work by Frank Nasserino and other labs that have actually examined some of these skulls, some of the skulls have been determined to be quite old, and some of them have been discovered to not be quite that old. And it's dependent upon what kind of tooling that they find on the skull. That's how they make the decision of whether or not it was used, if any kind of lapidary tools were used to create the skulls, or lack of lapidary marks would age the skull. So with this particular skull, the Mitchell Hedges skull, the research on that was pretty extensive. And it starts with a man named Frank Dorland. And Frank Dorland was a, he wrote a book, a really wonderful book called Holy Ice. And this book was printed in 1992. And Dorland, in the around 1960s, he was an art conservator. And he happened to meet Anna Mitchell Hedges in New York around that time in 1964. And he... she offered for him to take the skull and research it. And so he had the skull for 6 years in his possession, and he's the one, the man who's responsible for taking the skull to the Hewlett-Packard labs where they studied the skull. And this is where they discovered that the skull was created against the axis or against the grain of the quartz crystal. And because it was made against the grain, it makes it nearly impossible to create without shattering the skull. They also found that the skull, the upper part of the skull and the jaw, were made from one piece of quartz crystal. And that skull, if you see any pictures of it, is such a beautifully clear skull. It has a couple of inclusions in it, but it is just a remarkably clear skull and beautifully sculpted. And it has very few tool marks. There's some tool markings around the mouth and around the jaw area, but very few tool markings. And Dorland also talks in his book about how these quartz crystals can work as far as holding information. And it's based upon properties of a quartz crystal having properties that's called piezoelectric. Piezoelectric properties mean that it can be it can hold electricity or manipulate electricity, and they can be programmed very much like we program computers today. And it's because of this that he feels this quality. You can use these skulls can act like a computer. They can be programmed with information. And when he would work with the skull, now remember he was an art conservator, but he also had a real connection with this skull. And he was able to connect with this skull himself using meditation. And he felt that the reason why he was able to do that was because of this piezoelectric quality of quartz crystal being able to have a vibration or a frequency that was compatible and in harmony with the human brain, with the brain capacity of creating electromagnetic energy, and the skull being able to create electromagnetic energy because it has this piezoelectric property. And so he felt that it's very possible to communicate and work with the skull and program the skull very much like we do our computers today.
Now, wow, so crystal quartz is used in modern technology to store information. Exactly. It appears the crystal skulls contain information that was programmed.
Correct. Now, this also goes back, some of the research that was done on quartz crystals goes back to, you have to remember at the time, like in the 60s and the 70s, that's when all of these major companies like Hewlett-Packard, like IBM, were working on computer technology, trying to develop computer technology. And so when these skulls came into their research, when they got involved with the research of the skulls, they were curious as to the possibility that these skulls could hold information and contain information. And some of the researchers who were working on, working with IBM, there's a man named Marcel Vogel who was doing work with crystal quartz, and he understood that crystal quartz very much worked the same way like silicone chips that we have in our computer. And that not only did he think that you could apply electricity, now he was a researcher for IBM, he was a Nobel Prize winner, and he had the belief, it was his belief, that that with the human brain using thought would create this electromagnetic with, you know, thoughts with the brain, was able to communicate that to a quartz crystal so that you could not only use electricity to program silicone chips or quartz crystals, but you can use the mind, the consciousness, to do the same thing. And that was really kind of amazing work. Vogel is very famous for his crystals and his crystal work in the scientific field. So the thought, the idea that we can think, and we know the power of thought. We've worked with the power of thought with prayer, and we know how we talk about a collective consciousness and being able to create things and have a better outcome for things. And we also know, as Reiki masters, that the ability of quartz crystals that can we can transform the energy of these crystals and program them with our intention when we create Reiki grids for healing. And healers throughout the world and throughout time have used quartz crystals in all kinds of ways for their, for your chakras and for your auras. And so we don't, you know, and this is, shamans have used quartz crystals for millennia. All kinds of, you know, stones. And we know that each stone has a certain property and a certain frequency that reacts with us and reacts with our bodies. So we know the benefits of quartz, and we know that they can be programmed with simple thought patterns that work. And there's no question that they have the ability to do this. And we demonstrate it every single day with all of the types of digital technology that we use today. That's what it's based upon.
All Carol, didn't Hewlett-Packard inspect one of the skulls?
Yes, Hewlett-Packard inspected the Mitchell Hedges skull. And they are the ones that did the research and found it to that it was made of one quartz, one single piece of quartz, and it was carved against its the axis of the skull of the crystal, and that it held this piezoelectric property. So, and what's interesting in that with Dorland's work, when Dorland was working with the skull. Because remember, he's the man that took it to Hewlett-Packard. He worked with it on a metaphysical level. He worked with it in meditation because he wanted to see if he could create communicate with this skull. And he was getting pictures. He was getting impressions. And in his book, this is something that's really very interesting to me. He believed that once you activated a crystal, all right, to react with this energy, and the way you do that is by holding it, by, you know, interacting with it. So you hold, he would hold the skull and interact with the skull. That's how you're able to get the information. You're creating that piezoelectric result, and you're creating that connection with an electromagnetic connection between the skull and you as a human being. And so he wrote all his observations down, all his experiences down of the kind of work that he accomplished in working with the skull for 6 years. And in his book, now this is something that I found very interesting, in his book, he has a drawing. He drew a picture of the person or the being that he saw when he worked with this skull. And what he saw on this skull, and he has it in this book, Holy Eyes, is the impression of a white Anglo-Saxon young woman in her 20s. Now, there was a recent show on, and it talked about the Mitchell Hedges skull, and it used a copy. It had a copy made of the Mitchell Hedges skull, and they made a forensic clay workup of what they thought the face would be of this Mitchell Hedges skull. And they determined that it looked like a white Anglo-Saxon woman in her 20s. Now, what the show said was that this proved that it wasn't Mayan, because if it was Mayan, then the face should look have Mayan features. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. It doesn't mean that these skulls were made by the Maya. So who made the skulls? Where did they come from? Why are they here? That's the question. So you have the comparison of Dorland's work back in the 70s, saying that what he saw was an entity in the skull that was of a young woman in her 20s, and that correlates to what this show had about the forensic outcome of the skull when they did the clay workup.
Well, it's fascinating, Carol. I'm so glad that you're with us. I'm learning a lot. We're going to take a short commercial break, Carol, okay. But we'll be back to continue the conversation in just a moment.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Carol. I wanted to ask you to educate us a little more on the connection between the skulls and the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's the question. What do the Maya say about the skulls? Because certainly, you know, this connection has been brought up repeatedly. Because of the legend of the 13 skulls, and we've seen the Indiana Jones movie and all of that, and all of these different shows that have all this take on it. But what do the Maya themselves have to say? So there's a Mayan elder. His name is Don Alejandro Perez, and his Mayan name translates to Wandering Wolf. And Don Alejandro is a Mayan elder. He's part of the Mayan Council, and there's several. I think he's the 13th generation as a member of the Mayan elders, and he's a remarkable man. If you ever see a picture of him, he looks like he's in his 60s, but he's actually 85 years old. He's a wonderful person, and I love hearing him talk. And in 2010, the Mayans decided to talk more openly about what it means about the end of the Mayan calendar and what that effect has on humanity and what people can expect because of all of the doomsday scenarios. And it was getting to be a little disturbing to them, so they decided that it would be time to directly speak about this. And so there was a council of Mayan elders, several Mayan elders, and Don Alejandro included, and his wife went to the United Nations. And you can find this on YouTube. They have the YouTube videos of the Mayans at the United Nations if you do a Google search for that. And he addresses the facts about the end of the Mayan calendar and what that means, and the role that the skulls play in this. And I'm going to quote him a little bit here. Don Alejandro says, we are seeing old structures begin to fall away. Little by little, we are raising our vibration, which is preparing us for the new world. As we embrace these changes, we have been given a great assistance from the spirit realms, reassurance that we are not alone in the universe. I believe the reemergence of the crystal skulls is an integral part of that support. The skulls, the crystal skulls, are the inheritance of wisdom for all humanity. Now, the reason why these skulls are used and or could be used and have been gifted to humanity is that the skulls signify the essence of humankind. They don't have faces. They don't represent a race or a color or even a sex. They represent everyone and all humanity, and they have been somewhat of an enigma or a treasure, just as we have all these other things that are throughout our planet, like the pyramids and the Stonehenge and the Nazca lines and so many things that exist in our world, but we don't have a definitive, clear answer as to why or how or where do they come from. You know, the background on these skulls is that they were many of them that are supposedly called the ancient crystal skulls. Many of them were found in Central America or supposedly found in Central America. But there's no documentation or absolute fact on that. But the Maya used these skulls in ceremony. Not only the Maya, but the Hopi. The Maya and the Hopi believe that they are brothers. The Maya call the Hopi their northern brothers. And you have a group of elders of these indigenous people, the Maya and the Hopi and other indigenous people throughout the world, that have gotten together to talk about what this means, this time that we're moving into, this calendar, this ending date of the Mayan calendar and what that means. And they've performed ceremony with skulls like Max and skulls like Shana Ra. And so they, you know, and at the, when they went to the United Nations, they had skulls with them. They presented the skulls, not all of the skulls, but some of the skulls when they were at the United Nations. And they had Shana Ra, and they had some other skulls that are called ancient skulls. So what the Maya calendar means, and the end of the Mayan calendar is the end of what they call the long calendar. And the Maya calendar say that at the time of the 13th baktun, now a baktun, one baktun equals the equivalent of 144,000 days, or approximately 400 years. So the Maya talk about at the time of the 13th baktun is the time of the return of our ancestors and the return of the men of wisdom. This is their prophecy. This is the prophecy that ancient culture and ancient wisdom will return to us. And is that what the skulls will be used for? I don't know particularly factually on that, but maybe that's what they're referring to, that wisdom will be returned to humanity, and that this prophecy is for all people, rich and poor, black or white, men, women. It's about dignity, that we all have dignity, that we all have respect, that we all deserve happiness, that everyone is useful and everyone is necessary for the growth of the planet, to make its place where we can live and respect each other and respect each other's different cultures. And so this ending of the Mayan long calendar is simply an approaching, it's an ending of this cycle and an approaching of the next cycle and starting the calendar all over again, starting the calendar to the year zero. So the calendar ends December 21st, 2012. And on December 22nd, 2012 will be the year zero, according to the Maya. But what does this mean? What this means is that it's the end of one cycle, so this cycle that we're completing now, and the whole thing starts again. And according to the Mayan interpretation of what that means for humanity, is that it's going to be the same kind of frequency, but we will be vibrating at a new and higher octave. And everything is going to start off, to continue, everything's going to continue, but it's going to continue with us as human beings, our consciousness level, at a higher vibration. And these lessons, we're going to have the same kind of lessons, the same kind of challenges, but this time around, moving into this new age, into this new higher consciousness, we will handle things differently. We will be more evolved, and we are more evolved. Humanity has evolved tremendously in the past 4,000, 5,000 years. And so hopefully, you know, this is how we're going to handle things, that we're going to do it better, that we're going to, you know, see each other as one, that we realize that we are all one united people. And so
these are really important messages for us as we move into next year, Carol. You've got a huge amount of knowledge. It's just fascinating. I wanted to ask you, Carol, a little more about the Reiki crystal grids that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Have you participated in the creation of these energy grids?
Well, the Reiki crystal grid is made, you have to be a Reiki master, and you take crystal points. They usually use about 6 or 8 crystal points, and with intention and giving the board, this, you lay it out in a way where the points face each other and they face the center, and you can use another type of crystal as the anchor in the center of the grid, and you program this using your intention. And here again, this is the possibility of what we can do and work with crystals without using electricity, but using our minds to create this grid. We program this grid to send Reiki continuously. And as we do this, we use the Reiki energy and bring this Reiki energy into the grid. And then if we have someone who requires Reiki to be sent to them for a specific ailment or problem, we write their name or on a piece of paper, or we use a picture or something that would reference that person, and you place that their name or their picture in the center of the grid with the intention that they will receive Reiki continuously while that grid is programmed to send Reiki. And you do this every day. It's like you create the grid, you make the grid once, and then each morning you set the intention that the Reiki energy will flow through this grid and to the highest good of the name or the person that you've put place in this, or even a situation can be placed. Like if you wanted to make a grid for peace, or you wanted to make, you know, a grid for our government, or you wanted to make a grid to help support the troops for their highest good and their healing, you would place that intention in the center of the grid. And that's, you know, why working with crystals always fascinates me, because this goes hand in hand for me, working with the skulls or working with the grids, working with crystals. These are all ways of how we interact with and create this energy, this movement of energy, and so, you know, that's what we do. That's how we make the grid.
Carol, do you use the Reiki symbols in the grid as well?
Absolutely, because each of the symbols has a frequency, and so you're bringing certain frequencies, the Reiki frequencies, into the center of the grid for the purpose of that grid and So in doing Reiki, you learn certain symbols, and that's why you have different levels of Reiki, because with each level, you integrate the Reiki energy more deeply. And remember, our bodies are like gigantic crystals, and so we use the Reiki energy just like we would if we were a crystal. And with each level, you learn another symbol, and then that symbol brings another frequency into you as a Reiki practitioner. And then when you make the grid, yes, you absolutely put these symbols into the grid to help bring that energy into the grid and focus the energy.
Wow. I was reading last night about the pineal gland, Carol, the little pine-shaped gland at the center of the brain. It's about the size of a pea.
Right. And that's the ajna center, yes.
Yeah, they say it's the bridge between the physical and the spiritual world.
Right.
And there was an article that I read about the Egyptian temples saying that some of the constructions are set up to reflect the human body. And the most sacred point of the temple is in the exact spot that correlates with the pineal gland.
Yeah, we're learning so much that ancient civilizations really had a step up on us. You know, they've known so much more information than we understand on a spiritual level, and how to work not only the human body, but the way the earth works itself, and the way it functions through in our solar system and in our universe, in our galaxy. It's remarkable how they had such knowledge that unfortunately has gotten kind of lost, and maybe that's the return that's coming back to us. The wisdom that was known by these ancient civilizations will be returned to us so that we can improve ourselves as people and as in our development and evolve into a better society as a whole.
We presume, don't we, that we're moving forwards, that we presume that our society is more advanced than previous societies or civilizations, and it's not necessarily the case.
It's not necessarily the case. And we see that when we see some of how they created some of these structures where you can't slip a piece of paper in between the boulders. We couldn't recreate that today.
No. We still don't know how they created the pyramids, do we?
Exactly. Not only that, but there's other structures that we have no explanation throughout our planet that are becoming more, coming out there more. There's more talk and discussion and discoveries about these other structures that just make the academic world just shrug their shoulders as to there's no explanation as to why they're here or how they're here.
Do you believe that the crystal skulls could have been programmed or delivered by another race? Not another race, but another an alien life form, for example.
That's what the Mayas say. The Mayas say that the skulls are gifts from the men of wisdom, from the star people. And so, the Nazca lines are a perfect example because they're over 1,000 years old, and yet the only way you could see what they actually are would be from the sky. But yet there was nothing that flew back then that we know of, So why? Why do these things exist? Why do the skulls exist? Why do we have so many mysteries in our world that we're unlocking, and we have unlocked so much? We've unlocked the energy of the sun. We've unlocked some of these mysteries of the world, but some still remain that just we don't have an ability to understand how or why. And maybe that's the gift that we'll have an opportunity to have that returned to us.
Fantastic. Well, Carol, it's been an absolutely fascinating show, and we're so grateful that you joined us this evening to
thank you. Thank you very
educators
much.
About the crystal skulls. I've got to read and learn more. I'm so intrigued now.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Well, Carol, before you go, Carol, I wanted to just ask you to tell us, if we want to find out more about your work, we can go to your website,
ReikiLight.info. .info, yes.
Okay, and great. And you said also you're teaching a workshop in Knoxville in January.
Yes, January 14th at the Rama Center for the Healing Arts. I'll be doing and I'll be doing other workshops. I often run workshops there. And on meetup.com, Reiki Light with True Love, and the crystalskullwhisperers.com for information about the skulls.
Wonderful. Well, Carol, we'll look forward to checking all of those resources, and want to thank you once again for joining us. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. What a great show, guys. Now, if as Carol said, if you want to learn more about her work, visit ReikiLightWithTrueLove.info. And before we move into the part of the show when the hosts interact and talk about the topic, I want to make a few announcements. So firstly, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week on animal communication, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows, on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to be sure to connect with as many people as possible and to share the great insights and knowledge that our guest speakers bring to us each week. Be sure as well to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about reincarnation and all types of different subjects relating to psychic work and psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, and they each offer unique gifts. So go and have a look at the profiles and find out more about them and choose the psychic that meets your needs. I want to say as well that I'm really pleased to be with Psychic Access, and it's great to work with Doug, who's working diligently behind the scenes to keep everything running smoothly from a technical perspective. And I know that he's got very high expectations and aspirations for the business. So thank you to you, Doug. Now, all of the co-hosts on the radio show, Psychic Access Talk Radio, are also available on psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, please be sure to visit us. We'd love to hear from you. And for those of you that have your own websites, you can earn 50 cents a minute on readings for traffic that's referred to Psychic Access. If you'd like more information about that offer, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends and family to join us. They can also join the chat room and listen into the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please help us to spread the word. Now, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Now, we'll be having our co-host interaction, and then we'll be doing our free reading. So do call in and get a free reading today. Now, Maureen, what have you read about the crystal skull theories?
Well, you know, as I think Bobby and I might have the same thing, because I did some research, because crystal skulls, I find them interesting, but I really didn't understand what it was all about. But she brought up some interesting things. I had a guest on, it's on the archive under Vogel Crystals. She was talking about Marcel Vogel. I just wanted to throw that in there. And the person he mentored took over doing just Vogel crystals. So if anybody's interested, they should go check out that archive, because it she did integrate it in what she was talking about. However, I found out in my quest that she was talking about the origin of the crystal skulls, and that it can tend to be rather mysterious because some of them are said to be like 100 to 2, you know, to 1500 years old. A few are even classified as ancient, which this is all new to me, so I found it very fascinating. Now, also, I still am having an interesting time with the fact, maybe you can help me, maybe I didn't hear her right, but about how the skulls, are they actually made like that, or they form just by magic? You know?
It's magic, Maureen.
You know,
it's
like
the skill of the ancients.
Yeah, the skill of the ancients being Mother Earth, right? Because it's in the, it wasn't like she said the Mayans that were connected to it, but it's like, you know, as crystal, they're reemerging, but what the ancients are once believed to be real is now merely myth or legend. There's so much, or prophecy and all that, but actually, as far as how they're formed looking like a crystal, I'd like to know. I mean, I did some research, but still I don't have a grasp on it. Do you guys follow me?
I do, but my theory on that is that they're formed by some sort of, especially the ancient ones. I think that the ancient ones are formed by, you know, knowledge and expertise of another race. And I would say ancient aliens. That's my belief. It have to be. I mean, if you go to Egypt and you see these monuments, they have all these theories about, you know, oh yes, and they rolled these things with oil and milk mm-hmm. up these mountains. You know, if you see them, you're like, uh-uh. It didn't happen that way. So you know that they had knowledge that was far advanced. And that's right. Why I feel that they left these and contained inside these crystal skulls was information that they wanted to teach us, like some sort of capacitor or something.
Right.
Well, it's weird, too, because aren't the skulls, that's the one thing I found fascinating, is that the skulls contain the same type of material that we use today in computers and chips and things like that, which is amazing.
And they're record keepers as well, if you know anything about that, which I'm familiar because I had one thrown in my lap. But, you know, also, it's so fascinating, all the stuff I was learning about this. Now, there's a lot of them in Mexico that they found. And I agree with you, Brenda, about different aliens, but also there's message, like, they're like record keepers. There's information.
They are. They're like capacitors. They're like computers.
Exactly. They are. Exactly. But they're made into the skull, which I'll get into that other second point with Steve, how I integrated, what my thoughts are on that, why the symbolism of the skull. So, I guess
it's like a brain.
That's what my point is. And you're taking my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Guys. Don't get fighting about the crystal skulls.
I'm done with my crystal skulls. Next, guys, thanks.
This is the quickest interaction we've ever had.
It's their cosmic message. Hello, pick our brains, okay?
Well, Brenda, you've got your crystal skull there in your hand, haven't you, right now?
Yes.
Okay, now how do you use it? Which method do you use with the skull when you give a reading?
Well, you know, I read the crystal ball in my readings when people call in for readings and stuff. I have a crystal ball and I read a little bit different, you know. I look into it. It's kind of the same thing. It shows you images, it shows you pictures. It shows, you know, it's like a movie starring you, and you can see past, present, future, all kinds of information. It's kind of the same thing with the skull, but I find that if I look, and it's interesting because the actual crystal has like some different inclusions and stuff in it, and it's a quartz crystal, and when I look directly, like in the frontal part of the skull part is where I give the readings. It's where they show me the images. Yeah. Sometimes I put a candle behind it, and it illuminates it, and it helps it become more clear.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Bobby, what do you think? What do you make of all of this?
I, you know, to be so incredibly honest, it's fascinating and just wild to me, I think, all at the same time.
It's too bizarre.
I really do. But I found, you know, I love... I love history, and watching that documentary from the History Channel was very fascinating. I love those kinds of things. I don't know about all of that. You know, like, I think me personally as a psychic, I have avoided using any tools because I know that I can become reliant on them too much. You know, like my confidence level would go down if I didn't have that particular tool, you know, with me. And I know that I couldn't tune in or something like that. So I didn't want to become reliant on tools in the very beginning of learning all of this. And so when I hear about all this, I totally believe, obviously, because I trust Maureen and I trust Brenda, especially when Brenda's talking about the skull. I mean, I can see that she does that. And that's just bizarre to me because I don't know how to connect with that. You know what I mean? Like, I know how to connect with my personal psychic side, and I see visions and I see that kind of thing. But to look at something and have that do it for me, I think that would be a trip. So I'm really open if that were to ever happen. But
well, yeah, tools are just so fun. I mean, they really are.
Yeah.
And they're traditional. That's why I like them.
I like tradition. Yeah, I do enjoy that. Yeah, part of it. So crazy.
It's a Catholic thing. It's a cat. You know, you guys. It's a Catholic.
Oh, you know what? Hey.
Oh, there they go again. Steve, your show is like... Ascension among the girls.
Oh, we're just
dissension.
I'm going to break your skull. No, I'm going to take your skull.
No, we're having good stuff going on here tonight. I think.
Yeah.
My skull's stronger than your skull.
You should see the back of mine. It's kind of like never mind.
Have you guys been to the Mayan monuments? Have you seen, like, they have all this symbolism of skulls, everything's skulls. So that's perhaps how the reason why the image came as a skull is because they related to it so much. Have you been to the Mayan monuments, you guys?
No, sorry. I guess I haven't, but I've been down the street in Mexico.
Well, they have this thing. It's like the ancient, like the, it's like a called, it's at Chichen Itza, and it's called the ancient Pelota game, where they have these two teams and they played until one team killed the other one off. And then they have all these rows of skulls on there. And there's, the skull imagery is like everywhere in the temples.
And everywhere now in our lives, you know.
Is true. Hey, you know what? Yeah. That's totally the kids they're wearing. Even well, I went to, right. Yeah.
Isn't it AC/DC or Aerosmith that has a skull?
No, but this is around from the pirates. It's been around everything about the mind, and that's where it goes into the mind. It's fascinating because why I don't like skulls, although I wore one last night to the Del Coronado, my brooch, and it's a really cool one. I don't like skulls, the look of them, but I know now what this crystal and the skull symbolism, how they come because of the mind. We're saying it was fascinating. I had this enlightenment experience, and I was researching this. Like Bobby, I didn't know much about, you know, this topic, but it all kind of made sense with the skull being the skull. They could have put a crystal foot somewhere.
or you know, other thing, okay.
Or you know, or if they had the eye, you know, I mean, that would work. But
a skull, crystal eye would work. Yeah.
Yeah, that would work. But a skull is pretty symbolic of, and that's why the skulls and everything. Because you know, if you look up the symbol, what skulls reflect? Well, we all know. Well, maybe we all don't know that, but I looked it up. the pirates and all that, you know, they thought they're all, it's powerful.
It's compelling.
It is.
I'm very looking forward to Brenda, you doing readings from the skull. Do you find it's more powerful when you read from the skull than the crystal ball or when you're just tuning in?
You know, I use this skull and the rest of my skulls on my Reiki healing altar. And so it's been, you know, doing a lot of healing work.
Yeah.
But it is very, it gives very intense visions. Mm. Yeah. It gives very clear ones.
Well, crystals anyway, right? I mean, if it's made out of the same thing, crystals definitely enhance that. I hugely can feel that when I'm around, you know, certain types of crystal rocks and stuff, or if they're placed in my hand or using them for healing and such. So,
yeah. Well, we're using them on our computers right now. You know, we use them.
They're in watches.
Our computers. Stuff. They're inside of our head. You know, dogs getting chips inside them so you find them. pretty soon people will have them in there. But any crystals on our face, you know, the sand our face, make our business beautiful. There goes back to the school. Okay, never mind. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm serious. I'm serious.
I know you're very interested in Edgar Cayce.
Yes.
Didn't he speak of the crystal skull?
What's so interesting, this is where I found it all kind of, because I was doing this research, and all kind of came together. There's a man called Dr. Ray Brown's Mysterious Crystal Sphere, and maybe Brenda, you know, and its relationship to the Mitchell, and you know, she was talking about that woman, the Mitchell Hedges mm-hmm. crystal skull. Okay. And also they integrated with Cayce's great crystal, he called it, because on some of his reading, well, I'm sure everybody's pretty familiar, but people are listening to this later. You know, he was one from Virginia Beach, and he never charged, and he was unbelievable. And he spoke about, in numerous trance readings he gave over the 5-decade period he did mm-hmm. this, he talked about how the great crystal of Atlantis time and time again, and his words were a fascinating picture. Well, talking about the crystal, said to that it was housed in special housing in an oval shape, which was a dome that could be rolled back, exposing the crystal to, he would talk, you know, like this is detailed stuff, into the light, moon, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, the interior of the building was lined with non-conducting metal or stone similar to asbestos or backlight or whatever. Anyway, the crystal itself, which Cayce also called, I don't even know how to pronounce this word, but something stone, but it was huge in size. But the way he's talking about the shape, it's almost like when I was reading about this, it was movable and had all these rays of energy, but it also, this is all about the Atlantean, it was all parts of the Atlantean countryside. It was just covering it. But it was like the way the sphere, the round, it's like a skull. So the crystal itself, so the thing of it is, it kind of just, it all kind of blends, it fuses. So what he talks about, and like I said, record keepers too, for me, I know that. And what I've heard, like from you, Brenda, and such, I the only thing is that's different is, crystals have been around for so long, but it's just a different shape. This is a skull we're talking about. But then it goes into the mind. And then, and Edgar Cayce, his mind being pretty fascinating, because he would go into these trances. That's part of the mind again. But mm-hmm. I'm open like Bobby. I'm open to it, but I'm finding it very interesting. But they do talk how it all kind of, how universally comes together. You know, the crystal skull, and then this—it's just all part of the connection. We're all like, you know, me and you, Uni and Steph. We're all connected. Well, skull and crystals too.
I was a little bit confused when she talked about what the Mayans' message was. You know, as far as like when all the skulls would be reunited and such. I mean, it wasn't clear to me what, because I know everybody wants to know, oh my God, is this doomsday? What's really going to happen? What did you take from that, Steve?
What did I take from
her, what she said about what would happen, what's going to happen at the end of the Mayan calendar in relation to the crystal skulls, and the message that Mayan man that she was speaking of had. What did you take from it? Because that was, to me, I was a little confused on what his whole message was. I mean, did it mean a new beginning? Or to me, it sounded like he was talking about, you know, a shift in humanity's like viewpoint, you know, but that, I don't know. I wasn't clear on that.
Well, I mean, my view is it's a shift, a further shift out of the Piscean age towards the age of Aquarius.
Don't start singing.
Although that's not the exact date, though.
No, it's not. I mean,
it's August.
Fully until the age of Aquarius for, I think, another 150 years, is it?
Exactly.
But we're right up on the cusp of it, so we're transitioning, and there's no doubt that we're going to see quite a lot of flux and change. I mean, even if you just look at the astrological alignments, we're going to see some quite big changes in the next few years. And you know, when you look at the state of the world right now,
we
need all the help we can get. So if we can get some solutions from the crystal skulls, then we should take them.
So Beatrice, it, you know, so be it, really. And, you know, we've been in the shift since the 60s is when my point is we started the shift. We're now heading into the cycle. That's the way I'm viewing it, or the circle, coming full circle. Begin again. All good.
All good. It is an opportunity for a new beginning. It's literally an opportunity for us to wake up, to be more conscious of what we're creating in the world and to make some different choices together.
Yeah, or be aware that we're obliviously walking around unconscious.
There's an awful lot of wake-up calls going on right now. Look what's happening with religion.
There's a lot happening.
Female energy in the world.
Yeah, there really is a lot going on. And as we shift through the winter solstice,
we'll have a fun dance.
There'll be more and more people waking up. Now, Brenda,
and my birthday too.
Oh, it's your birthday as well.
No, my birthday's on the 24th of December.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I have to remember that.
Well, Brenda, what's your skull made of? Your crystal skull, not your personal skull.
I have several of them.
I'm glad you clarified because I personally was also wondering, but thank you, Steve.
I can tell you what both is made of, but first let's talk about the crystal ones. I have several of them. I have the big one, Mortimer, that's his name. That's what came to me. As a matter of fact, he told me his name. I know it sounds bizarre, but remember she was talking about how the skulls told her what their names were. Well, this one told me what his name was, and he called to me, and I had to have him so I, you know, without usually bargaining for things like I do, I paid the full price, so I got him. And I have, he's a quartz crystal, then I have a rose quartz, I have a jasper one, I have an amethyst one, what is the other one? I have to go look. And then I have a malachite one, which I believe is kind of like my prize. I love my malachite one.
That's cool. That's really nice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and lapis lazuli.
So here's a question then. If it's not just the pure crystal, it's not just the ancient skulls, where do these current skulls that obviously were made by somebody, right, where did they get their power from? Or is it just infused in, or do you see what I mean? Is it just simply the power of the crystal itself?
Well, you know, most of the crystals, and you guys can back me up on this, is most of the crystals, like if you go to the crystal shows, they come from South America, that area. Like they have the big veins of crystal in which they find, you know, the big veins of crystal in which they like form these, you know, crystal balls, crystal skulls, crystal pyramids. But it's the inherent, I believe it's the inherent material that becomes like the, you know, receptor for these energies. And crystal is just, you know, it's
well, right.
One of these things. It's like
our
telephone to the aliens or whatever. You
know? No, of course. The crystals themselves having that power and the healing power and things like that. So I didn't know what the difference was between just if you were just to pull it out of the ground like that or made from, you know, into a crystal skull, why the skull might be more powerful. It's really all just the material, right?
It's a tool. Isn't it just a tool? It's powerful, like magical.
It's a tool, but I think it is the shape. I really do think it's the shape because as someone who works with, you know, a crystal ball and a crystal skull, and I also have a crystal pyramid that I work with, but I think that shape just draws you in more. It really does. It pulls you in.
And it's an individual thing, I believe as well. I don't believe anything. All I know is what I know with my personal experience.
I'm just telling you my experience.
Right.
And that's just how I feel about it. Many people that I know that work with these type of tools, that's what they feel as well.
Interesting. Okay.
I went to a crystal show in Nashville earlier this year, and one of the crystal skulls was at the show. I can't remember the name of it, but I remember the the gentleman that had the skull said to me, would you like to sit with the skull for a while and meditate? So I said, oh, yes, I'd like to, please. So I sat in front of the skull and I leant forward and put my forehead on the skull's forehead. And I remember hearing it talk to me telepathically, and it did have a really distinct personality. And I said, so I like to joke with spirit and be a bit controversial. So I said, is there anything you want to ask me?
That's perfect.
And it responded. It had a really great sense of humor, and its response was, no, thank you, young man. And then I started to ask it questions, and I made notes. I like to make a lot of notes, and I made notes afterwards of everything it said to me. I must go back to them and look, because this was in the summer, and some of it was relevant to this winter. But it was a really
wasn't that May? Was that May that you went to that? Was that the
I think
one
it was
when yes. I was in Tennessee at the same time. Well, I was there.
Yeah,
at the same time. You told me about that.
I traveled to Nashville.
Yeah,
and I remember the guy afterwards said to me, "What was your experience?" I said, "I found him quite sarcastic."
See, that's not true. That's just way off base.
That's his English way. You know, the supreme proper
British humor. Right?
Yeah, right.
We like to be controversial. Well, if anyone would like to call in for a reading, then I'll repeat the number for you guys. It's 724-444-4851. So please feel free to make a call and have a free reading.
I think there's one way.
I think Maureen's got somebody, doesn't she, from California?
Yes,
there.
I sure
oh,
do.
We've already got somebody.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had somebody with us. Well, who have we got from California?
Gregory?
Hi. California? Hello?
Hi, Reginald.
Hi. I'm sorry. What's your name?
Reggie.
Hi, Reggie. This is Maureen. What can
Hi.
I focus on for you tonight?
Yeah, I'm having bad luck with women.
There is a bad luck. Okay, you're in bad luck with maybe you're picking those wrong women. Okay, so you would like me to focus on, how about this? Maybe picking, are you interested in knowing about, well, bad luck? Maybe you're focusing on the wrong women. Is there anyone particular that you're,
no,
I guess.
No, I joined this dating service. I've had no luck so far.
Okay, but you have been reaching out or been trying to reach out. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, a little. Well, no, not like a no, not really.
So you're not doing anything about you? Is okay. Well, Reggie, we need to change that up, because personally, that was not going to work. Well, personally, I would soon not be bothered myself. But the thing of it is, what I see here is and feel, I feel that you've had a connection with somebody. And it looks like it was really, it wasn't that long ago, and it looks very good, and it was like a nice union, and I don't know, I'm not picking up the pieces, but it was very equal, and it could have been someone that also you felt like a partnership, friendship, but it was really special, and then manipulation takes a turn into the situation. You know, I really, when I get this stuff, I'm telling you, I'm not just bringing this in because I watch soap operas, because I don't. But there are people out there that do like to be really observant and observant to your own personal life. And they seem to – they're called crazy makers. I call them crazy makers. And I feel that then we get lost in listening to gossip, or maybe it's somebody else saying, well, you know, in your mind, you know, power suggestion, you know, that person maybe is doing this or they're not interested. And you start – I see you lose faith. You lose faith. And what I mean by faith, Reggie, is that – You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not bad luck here. It's what I feel. You've gone through a lot, internally speaking. You're going through a healing, and I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about some big-time internal stuff. So your wounds are still kind of open, but you are going through a healing. But I do get a feeling that you've lost faith in just everybody. Like you said, I've kind of like there's, you know, I bad luck. It's not that. You need to start getting hope back, because I do still see somebody hovering not hovering, I guess. There's somebody that's offering a relationship that's positive and good, but you're not seeing it because you're not, your eyes aren't open. I'm not saying that literally, but your eyes, you're not ready to see it. And it's almost like I see in the next months ahead. And I, the way I read it is you can change this up. Every negative can be a positive. I would like to see you get a little bit more. Oh, I'm encouraging you to get a little bit more faith. And like I said, that means church or go, I go to the beach or wherever, take a walk, wherever you can get connected and see that there's some light. Because there's somebody that I feel that you know of. I just feel that maybe you have, you've been attracted to the wrong people. And maybe, go figure, you wouldn't think this, there's one person that I see absolutely is offering something to you, but you're just, something's going on. You're not seeing it as, you know, a lot of us see things in physical. We want everybody to look real great, you know, that kind of thing. And this, there's something very positive I see. I can't see the face of this person, but I don't know if you can ponder that for a while. Do you follow me on this?
No? No, a former neighbor of mine, but I don't think she was really interested in this.
Well, do you have any friends that are girls?
No, not right now.
Not right now. That's the operative word. Not right now. Did you recently?
Yeah, I moved to a new location.
Well, I don't know. I'm just, well, I could be wrong, but I'm seeing something else here, and you just, you're not looking up to see it. You're not, you won't open up to see it. It's somebody that's been, you that knows you and has been there, and this person would be a really good partner for you. And she looks like she's gone through a lot of emotional issues herself, but anyway, there you have it. I hope I helped you, but maybe just keep your mind open and what I might said, maybe it will come to you. There is somebody hovering over you right now. So, I'm sorry. I wish you well, but you don't have bad luck. You don't.
Okay. I contacted an old friend of mine. You think I see her again?
Oh, that could very well be then. That could very well be the case. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Reggie. And I see you're going to, no, you won't be disappointed. Thanks. Not to worry. Just start turning yourself around, getting that light back at, get, you know, with this whole idea behind this. Okay.
Being more positive. Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is hard.
Goodness. You know, it's so tough, isn't it? Because you can just feel it in their voice. And it's always, sometimes it's just so tough because they don't see what we see, right? And trying to explain that to them, and they're like, I just don't get what you're saying. And it's so difficult, isn't it, at times?
Yeah. He's in there, high risk.
Well, we've got another caller from Washington State for you, Bobby.
All right. Hello.
Hi, Bobby. It's Julie. How are you?
No, it's not. Don't tease me now. Who is this really? Hi,
really?
Julie. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
So,
what can I do for you? What do you want to talk about?
Okay. I'd like to know if your guide's changed, and if so, can you tell me the name of my guide? Because I feel like my guide that I had used to be around me is no longer around me.
So what I will tell you, let's see kind of where this goes, but I also have just my own belief on guides and things like that that differ from so many people. And I believe that we do have guides. I sometimes hear that we have anywhere from 300 whatever and up guides around us. But I personally just keep it simple. And I think that we have anywhere between 4 and 5 guides around us at any given time. And I think they're a lot like college professors. When you're done with one or they're done with you and you've learned as much as you can from that particular guide, they will leave and another one will come in to take its place. The next thing before I tell you about your guides around you, I just tell you straightforward that I don't do guide names. I can get the names, but the thing with that is I always encourage the person to get their own names. Just like when Brenda was talking about the skull that she has and it sent the name to her. I think the same way could be for you. Because you're never going to get it verified. I mean, I know that you trust me and whatever name I give you, go by that. But I always think it's more meaningful and more permanent if you're in a meditation and you just ask, simply ask, and the name will come to you just as easy as it does to me. And again, it may be something that's more meaningful for you as well. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. So, again, I'm all about empowerment. And if you need more information or something, you know, I'm going to be on after the show, and you can always come into my chat room, and we can talk just a little bit more about it. But yeah, I mean, it's really easy to obtain those kinds of things. And plus, you already have such a connection, don't you, anyway, if knowing that one of your guides may have slipped out and that you've got a different one or who else is around you. So you've already got a really good line and connection on those. The guide that's in the area now, the one at least that's more prevalent for you, feels like he's kind of helped the work push you forward. I don't know. It feels a little bit like career to me, making changes or doing some sticking up for yourself, letting your full talent shine. That type of thing. And it's a matter of getting, you know, it's kind of like preparing this whole time to go on stage. And then when you're on stage, you just have to simply shine. All the training gets left behind. You forget about all of it. And it's just time to simply shine. And that's what this guide is helping you to do, especially in the coming year. He's preparing you and getting you started, trying to build up your momentum for the next year. So that next year, it's time for Julie just to simply shine. All these things that she's been trying to put forward. And sometimes it's not our faults to a degree where we have certain people around us that put lids on us or don't allow us to grow to that potential. You understand what I'm saying, right? In this past year, especially for you.
I understand.
Okay, there you go. So that's it's time to shed that, time to go out and shine, and that's what this particular guide is doing for you. This is the main one that I'm picking up on. So does that all make sense for
cool.
you, darling?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, you're very welcome. That was easy. Go. So just be sure you, again, meditate either right before you go to bed or just meditate in the day and just ask them what the name is. It may take a couple of times. So if you don't get one the first ride out, don't worry about it. But just allow that name to come to you. And sometimes they can play with you as well. And you'll read something or see a billboard or something, the name just pops out at you. It's very interesting how names can come to you sometimes. So I would not only look for them during meditation and in your mind, but keeping with the theme of the show, in your skull, but it could be as well seeing it outside of yourself onto, you know, books or, again, billboards or anything, overhearing a name in a conversation that just strikes you. And, again, you're fairly tuned in just about most parts of the day. And so something will resonate with you, and then you'll know that's it. But personally, I've got my guides. I don't know their names. It's always just been important for me to work with them. They've acknowledged the fact that they want to work. And when I work with them, the appropriate guide comes forward, and I just know it. So I just call mine. I think John Edward once called his the boys. I just called mine the guys, and I'll talk to my guys, you know, and see what's up. And then the appropriate one always fields it for me. You know what I mean? But some of us, like you said, sometimes it's more meaningful, more of a connection if you do have a name. And if it's important to you like that, then I have no doubt you'll be able to get one. So, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Julie. Thanks for calling.
All right.
All right. Bye.
It was great. Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we've got another caller for you, Brenda. This caller's from Indiana.
Hi, Indiana. What can I do for you this evening?
Hey, Brenda. Question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I am wondering if I am ever going to get remarried again.
Well, let's take a peek here. You know, I do see, you know, the vision that I have is there will be a ceremony between you and somebody new, but it's somebody that you have not met at this time. So I don't believe it's anybody around you. It's nobody that you expect that it's going to be. It's somebody new. And I know you're thinking, oh, is this ever going to happen to me again? Because there's been so many difficulties connecting. But I really do see that. And I believe that there's a time within the next 3 years that you will be with this person. But I also feel that it's going to be a journey, too. So it's going to be a journey through a couple of other relationships or relationships that you thought were going to happen, and they just, you know, you decided to part as friends, in other words,
mm-hmm.
is what I see. Have you just met somebody?
I reconnected with my first love.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm seeing that this is good because I feel that this is part of the whole, you know, the journey and the reconnection, because the two of you are completely different people than you were before. So right. There is a possibility that this could be the special person in your life, because he's not the same. He is somebody new. And the person that I see comes from, you know, a past or a past ideal that you had. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we're on the same person.
The man from the past, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was my first love, and we just reconnected about 2 years ago on Facebook.
Facebook isn't Facebook can be the devil, though, right? But it can also be really good. It's amazing. It helps karma. It really does. It helps the karmic connection. Otherwise, you never would have been able to find him again, and it always would have been a yearning, because he's gone through a whole journey just like you have, and now you're back at a point where you're kind of, you're different people. You're grown-ups now, you know, so.
Yeah, because when we dated, I was 18 and he was 19.
Yeah, you were babies. It wasn't adult love, and now I feel that it's on a whole different level. And it also looks like there are so many more new possibilities. One of the things that I see, though, is it's going to require a change around him, especially in him walking away from something, and that could even be a locality.
No, that would be his wife.
Oh, I see. Well, it feels like an ending in their thing, and not a beginning. Is he initiating an ending in that?
You know, I don't know what he's doing yet. I know that there's health issues with her, and I know that he's pulling away from her.
I see that he's going to do the right thing by her, but his separation from her is not about you.
No,
it isn't. It's about what happened between the two of them. So that is a separate thing. I'm not saying, you know, anything other than that, because he's married. It just happened the way it did. The timing is off between the two of you, but it's important to know that in the next 8 months, this thing will change between them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He'll move away from it. He's going to move away from it. He had been planning to before, but he will do right by her. And if he doesn't do right by her, honey, he's not the man for you, right?
Right, right. No, I know. And I'm not asking, I haven't been asking him any of that, so.
No, these are things that he is planning to deal with himself. When is his birthday?
November 30th.
Yeah. So when he's done, he's done.
So.
He doesn't look back.
No, he doesn't look back. When we reconnected, what he told me was I was his one regret. He wouldn't go into it any further than that. He just said I was his one regret.
He has always felt that things were incomplete between the two of you. And even in his relationship with his wife and the life they had together, he always, thoughts crossed his mind what it would be like if things happened between the two of you and you had a life together. Do you see what I mean? I don't know if he's told you that, but that's what I see.
He has told me. Well, we've told each other that we're absolutely convinced that we're each other's soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually feel like we've been connected on several different occasions through past lives and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we've never actually sat down and studied it together.
Well, you have to just, right now you're doing the right thing. In order for this to be a strong relationship, you have to, I mean, because you're not in a position of power. He has to make all these decisions, you know, but I see that the road to his heart right now is through friendship and developing this friendship. And maybe that's what the universe wants you to do first. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you had asked about if you were going to get married again. Well, you know, you probably weren't unless you met another best friend. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? Yeah. I think too many times people go on Match.com or whatever and they just jump in the sack with somebody and they think they're in love and in 2 weeks they want to get married and that never works out. You know?
I remember too many times I'm wanting to take it slow. In fact, I'm the one putting the brakes on certain things between he and I.
And that's good because he might not be, he's fiery and he's impulsive and he's in love. So
yeah.
You've got to be the logical one, honey. Okay?
All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Brenda. We've got another caller. But before we take this call, I'm just going to remind everybody of the call-in number. It's 724-444-4851. And the queue's not too long, so do go ahead and give us a call. Okay, now the next person is calling from Ohio. Who's calling from Ohio?
Leola.
So your name is?
Leola.
Leola. How are you doing, Leola?
Fine.
Good. What? How can I help, Leola?
Yes, I wanted to ask about my ex, Eric.
Eric.
I wanted to know. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to know if I should attend a funeral. His grandma just passed. And will I feel, I mean, would it be right for me to attend it? He had told me what a funeral would be. And I want to know how he really felt inside about me coming.
Okay. Let me see. My guides suggest to you that your decision about the funeral should be based upon your feelings for his grandmother and your relationship, your connection to his grandmother. And it feels to me energetically that it would be appropriate for you to attend the funeral out of respect for the love you have for her. I feel that she was fond of you in this lifetime, and that she would want you to be there. And I don't get the feeling that he would object to you being at the funeral if it's something that you would like to do, if you'd like to pay your respects. And I don't get the feeling that the family would object either. They don't have any reason to object. I do feel that it would be appropriate for you to contact him and say that it's something that you would like to do, but you want to just check if it would be okay with him and you don't want to make him feel uncomfortable, particularly at a time of grieving. So that's what I feel about the funeral and the decision on the funeral. Does that make sense?
Okay. You're like going in and out. I can't understand what you were saying.
Okay. My guides are saying to you that your decision about the funeral should be based upon your relationship with his grandmother and your feelings towards his grandmother and your desire to pay respects to her at the end of her lifetime. Can you hear me so far?
I'm hearing some. It sounds like you're like so far away.
Okay. I'm sorry. Maureen, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Can you hear Maureen well when she speaks?
Can you hear me?
I can hear her.
Can you hear me speaking okay?
I can hear her.
Okay. Well, Maureen, can you just reiterate what I Just say it, please.
Okay. I wasn't following it, but I heard you say something about a funeral. You know what? On the archives, you'll be able to listen to it better. I know that because I could hear you perfectly because I wasn't following you, Steve, unfortunately. Okay.
No, it's not a problem. I have strep throat this week, or I have had, so my voice is probably more unclear than it is usually. But listen to the
You're
archives.
Coming in really clear, Steve. You are. Okay. It must be the connection from her end.
It might be. It just might be helpful if she just listens to the archives, sweets.
Yeah, she'd be able to hear it perfectly then.
Okay, but I want to just before we finish this reading, I want to say to you that I feel that this is about your relationship with his grandmother. And it would be a good idea for you to contact him if you want to attend the funeral and just say that it's something that you would like to do. And I feel that, again, it's an opportunity for some healing between you and him, and that this would be positive between the two of you. And I feel that if you are to contact him and say that you'd like to be at the funeral, I don't feel any objection from him. I feel that he'll appreciate your respect and your sentiments towards his grandmother. Okay?
Okay. I can only hear a little bit of what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's the phone connection. But if you go to the website, psychicaccesstalkradio.com, after the show, you'll be able to listen to the archive recording and you'll hear the full message through your computer.
Oh, okay, I can hear it through my computer.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
You can download the archive, okay?
I'll be able to hear the whole message?
You will be able to, yes, on the archive.
Okay.
Okay, good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay. Now we have another caller from New Jersey for you, Maureen.
Okay. Hi, New Jersey. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. This is Deborah.
Hi, my Deborah. Job and what can I focus
totally,
for you?
My job is getting totally out of control. I'm thankful for my job because there's so many people without jobs, but it's getting whacked. I mean, to the point where the team leaders might lose their jobs, my chief might lose her job. What is going on? Do you see a promotion for me up there?
Okay, I see. Okay, you know what? This might be a blessing in disguise, but I will say this. I don't know how long you've been there for, but it does appear to me that this job really it felt like at the time you went to it, it was really an answer to all your fears about, fearing the poverty went away and all that stuff. It felt really like it was a big step up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that way? It's not just a job, it's a real position for you, okay, or you went into it like that. I'm feeling, though, that there's stuff going on around you. Everybody's almost like people's personal power is being drained. I don't know why. It could be there's some changes and not everybody's being told about, or there's intuitively you might be able to pick this up. And I do feel, if you hadn't been feeling like the same way, I see you making, there's a risk, but there's also a leap that I see you like wanting to go for something new. I don't know the in-between parts. I want to ask you something. Were you at any point, and it looks like right now, and the timing is going to be right, even though it seems odd, I feel that it'd be a really good time if you get an opportunity or you see an opportunity to go elsewhere, go for it. Even if everybody says, you're dreaming, what are you thinking? This, da, da, da. I say, it would be to your best interest, and I could be wrong, but it will be your choice. But I do feel it will be feeling like almost like your breath, you're going to run out, you're going to be running out of breath if you felt. But I say jump on it, because there is some issues about, things have run its course in the position or in the company you're around. And I feel that if you stick around it, there's going to be some problems. Physically, I see you being feeling pretty down and low, taking time off, and there's also the backing of money that won't be. Something's going on. There is something going on. I don't think I can articulate it, say for sure, but there's some downsizing or merge, creating another type of company or something is interesting. You're
I
right.
work for the Maureen. You're hitting it on the. I mean, you got a nail just hammering it in. I work for the government. I was brat. from New Jersey to Maryland, and then they sent me to Andrews Air Force Base, and they brought me back to a base that's closer to Jersey. Still, as 9,000 of us get there, now they're talking about downsizing.
Okay.
And I'm in a department I've never been in before. And I worked in a lab for 20-some years. I'm in this department, and now we got this Cooper Nanny person running the place and don't know their head from their tail. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you know, it is time. But, you know, this is a blessing. I feel this is a blessing for you because this is going to be a – there's something I say, like I said, something I'm feeling is going to be so great. And it'll be fearless. That's the word. Be fearless. So there's something coming up. There's a choice. I don't know exactly what it is. I can't see that. But it's coming up like in the real soon, like present into the now, into the tomorrow. This is the best timing. And you may not have, if this didn't happen, maybe you'd been just hanging on to this thing. But something's happened. It's a good timing for you. And so that's why I say a negative can be a positive. This is what a perfect example of what I say about that. This is one of them. And absolutely, this will be a good time because there's some opportunity. And I say leap, go for it. Go for it. Even though you feel, go for it. And I do feel that you'll be hearing about this. There's something you already know. Go for it. Even if someone says, oh, that's ridiculous, jump. Jump, jump.
I'm going to jump.
Jump and go for it. And I see nothing but really good things.
Because everybody in my department went out of it. But we all went out of it. And they're trying to hire new people. And we're like, no, don't come here.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you can't carry on all that on your shoulders. You know what I mean? I understand you're very nice to do that. You need to really focus on yourself. Everybody else will be. But I know it must be, God, it's a difficult thing. But it's not going to last that long. Things are moving quickly. You won't be, I don't see dwelling in this atmosphere. Not dwelling, being pushed, you know, keeping along. It's going to be gone pretty soon. So I think that's great. Because I think it'll be.
Thank you so much.
Good timing for you. I'm happy for you. You're going to do very well on your own. You're doing it's part of your journey. This is great stuff. Actually, even though it seems negative, it's great. It's very great. I hope
Thank
I helped you.
So you.
And I say, you jump.
You did. I can sleep better tonight. I can sleep better.
No, well, you knew
so
this.
Much.
Okay. Thank you for calling. You're sweet. And you just, go for it. And it's your time. Good for you.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Maureen. We have another caller from Pennsylvania for you, Bobby.
Hello. Pennsylvania. Who's this?
Hi, it's Cheryl.
Cheryl, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. What would you like to talk about?
I would like to ask you, I have a guy that I'm kind of sort of seeing, I'm not really sure, but we've tentatively have plans this weekend, but nothing's been confirmed yet. He's a little wishy-washy. I just wanted to see what you were picking up on this weekend, Saturday, whether or not you think we will, first of all, have plans. Second of all, if we do have plans, whether or not, you know, if we'll make any progress or get anywhere.
Right. So there's a few things coming up. It's so funny. Sometimes information comes through so fast that, like, I lock up. I don't know if you guys have been having to. Like, it just starts coming through, and I feel like I'm All right. So several things. When you talk about this guy, the first time that you mentioned him, he seems like a really good guy, well-rounded, broad-shouldered. I don't know if that matters to you or not, but he seems, you know, he seems like a good type of guy like that, knows where he's headed. But he kind of lacks a little bit in the communication department. And part of the other thing with him, which is why I think that you're having a little bit of difficulty, is because you have such a strong energy about you, just up front, present, here I am. And some guys find that either intimidating or, I don't know, they just kind of shy away from that sometimes, which is a shame because it's, you know, we're moving more into the feminine where the whole world is, and it's about time because guys have just screwed things up long enough. So sometimes it's just something that a guy needs to kind of get in touch with. So I would never suggest that you back off. In other words, your energy, right? You just still continue to be you, and he's just going to have to learn more about that and deal with it. So, I think he's really focused on career and other things that he has going on, and relationship comes second to him, but that's just now. I'm not saying that couldn't change sometime down the line. The weekend, it feels fairly good that you both would get together. Where it would head, this is kind of a first step. I don't see huge progress being made from the weekend, but at the same time, you know how first steps are first steps, right? Sometimes they are a must, so that the second time that you get together, it can go really well and be more so of what you're hoping for. You just,
right?
You know what you want. You know what you want out of this weekend, and then you're looking on to already date number two and three, right? He is not there yet, and so date number one will just be, or you know, get together with this weekend will be just that.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, he'll start thinking a little bit, well, that was a nicer time. I had a nicer time than what I expected. You know what I mean? So I feel it can all go that way. You can't ask me if you guys are going to have a good time, because I don't. That's all relative, isn't it? If you both will have a good time and how the other one acts and says or does. And, you know, there's just, from my perspective, I just would have no idea how both of you are going to be with each other. But the overall theme and the overall attitude, mood, and energy that I'm getting from this weekend is a good one. That's what I believe is important anyway. And so you're doing the right thing. Just know that you're a bit ahead of him spiritually. And so you're stronger and just more out there. But do not curb that, because you don't want any, but you already had that in your lifetime. Somebody put a lid on that. You don't want that again.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right? Don't do it again. I'm telling you. Don't do it.
My concern is, we haven't confirmed anything, you know, and I sent a message today just saying, hey, you know, what's going on for the weekend? And I haven't gotten any reply back. Now, it hasn't been that long, so, you know, I understand he might just be busy, but, you know, I just, you know, I kind of feel like, okay, well, are we or aren't we? Because there was, it was left as a maybe, and then it turned into a sounds good. And then, you know, but nothing definite. So I guess I was just looking to see if you feel that, yes, it will work out, or is he going to...
I definitely feel the possibility there, but just please keep in mind that, I mean, this, if it doesn't happen this weekend, don't be disappointed and not try to set anything up for him. I think that you both getting together in whatever capacity or whenever that happens is a good thing. So if I would, what I'm recommending, and I, of course, am getting this from your guides, what they're telling me is that by tomorrow afternoon, 1 or 2 o'clock, if you haven't heard anything yet, I would dump it. You know what I mean? Because, like, you deserve to know what's going to happen. You have plans. You can't, you know, don't call me. This is the new you, right? Don't call me Saturday morning and say, okay, let's get together. I have plans too, and I need to know ahead of time, just because I set my schedule around that. So stay true to yourself.
I'm hoping for today. But,
what's that?
I work days ahead of schedule.
Yeah, there you go. So just stay true to yourself. Just do me that favor. Stay true to yourself throughout this whole thing, up until, like I say, until 2 o'clock tomorrow. I think the chances for you guys getting together looks good. A little iffy on this weekend, though. So just make sure you just stay with, again, true to yourself and what you've come to learn, especially in the past 7 months. It's been a great learning period from you. Now it's time to implement all those tools that you know, right?
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweetheart.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, we have a call now for you, Brenda, from California.
Hi there. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Mariah, Maureen's daughter. I finally got through.
Oh, hi, Mariah. Nice to meet you, at least over the phone so far. What can I help you with?
Let's see. My mom just gave me a reading a little while ago, but I have another question that she didn't answer.
Okay.
I guess I'm going through, like, a mid-college crisis, and I'm halfway done with college now, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, where I'm going with it and what I'm going to do afterwards, because it's becoming more real. And I have, like, a couple of things I was thinking about doing, but then, you know, none of them are guaranteed, and I'm kind of unsure. And, you know, I want to make sure I do the right thing, you know, after getting a college degree. So I don't know. I just, maybe if you have any guidance on that.
Okay. Well, the first thing I see is, you know, it's so important that, you know, you do something that, and you get involved in something that you really, that's in your heart. You see what I mean? And you are kind of at a crossroads. I have to tell you honestly, I see that you're going to choose a career that puts you in the service of humanity, and that is through science. It feels like it could be related to healing. I definitely see that. I feel that you're curious about that. Mm-hmm. I also feel that there's a great deal of financial reward with this, but it looks like a long road. It looks like it's going to be many years to complete this degree. It feels like you're going to be able to get some kind of funding for it, though, because it feels like your grades are good. Do you have good grades?
Yeah. I mean, not straight A's anymore because it's a little harder than high school was. But
oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, but everything you said makes sense. I mean, I don't know if you saw in chat. I said I was a cognitive neuroscience major, and one of the main things I'm focusing on is, like, how to view the mind in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a lot of research on, like, Buddhism and how that relates to the mind, mm-hmm. and, like, all the new studies they found on how it actually changes your brain. And I want to try to, like, implement that in any career that I choose because I think it's really powerful and can change a lot. And I know it'll be a long road. I want to go to grad school. That was uh-huh. one of my options.
Well, I see you going into the field of healing, and you may go into something related to either psychotherapy, psychology, or it even looks like you could go into something that actually puts you into like case studies and research, is what I see.
Well, that all sounds like stuff I'd love to do, so that's relieving to hear.
And I also see that you have teaching talent. You have talent with teaching. You don't realize it yet because you're young and you think, well, who's going to listen to me because I'm young? But when you come full circle with this, the vision that I have through Mortimer's brain tonight is mm-hmm. that I see you in front of people like talking about these theories. And I also see that you're going to be at the cutting edge of some kind of, some types of either surgeries or treatments for different types of psychological types of diseases is what I see.
Awesome.
Maybe
well,
cure
that
narcissism.
Like
wouldn't that be
dream.
Awesome?
What?
Oh, I just made a joke. You could cure narcissism. That would be good.
If yeah,
we
could I
could
get
rid of
my
narcissists,
brain and
right?
see what's going on. Okay, no. Well, thank you
if
so much for your time.
If you could just help me
time.
Get rid
this
of it,
great.
That would be great.
Oh, you're not a narcissist. Come on. We wouldn't like you if you were. That anyhow, it looks like you're going to be very well favored in this. You are.
Great. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
I really appreciate your time. I know you guys went over time.
Oh, good luck to you. And nice meeting
thank
you.
Thank you.
Good night, honey.
Okay. Bye, Mom. Love you.
Love you, too.
Oh, she's wonderful.
I love you.
That's awesome.
You're great, yeah. Really great. Thank you, Brenda.
Oh,
well, that brings us to the end of another great show, guys. I want to thank Doug for helping us behind the scenes and keeping everything on track as our executive producer. And thank you to you guys as well for participating in the show and for giving such great readings. Now, next week's show is being anchored by you, Bobby. So what do you have planned?
I'm going to have my friend and author, John Selby, on the show. He's going to be talking about focus phrases. He has a couple of new books out, and he also is very much into how cognitive shifting takes us from ordinary everyday mind into meditation in like a minute. And it happens almost instantaneously. So he'll come up with some focus phrases on things that will get you calm, centered, and being able just to focus inside of the body and how that works and why it works. And he's very fascinating. He was a 60s child and is really cool and laid back and great voice, and it should be very informative. He's a great guy. Yeah.
Good. Sounds
Can't
like a brilliant
wait.
Show, Bobby. Well, we'll look forward to
yes.
that.
Yes.
So, everybody, that is next Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Well, Maureen, thank you for joining us this evening.
No. Thanks for everything. Thanks. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Maureen. Thank you to you, Brenda, as well.
Oh, my pleasure.
And you, Bobby.
Yes. Yes. Well, good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back again next Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for the Psychic Viewpoint.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.